This is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. The opening drive is brought to you by Cherish. And sitting in for our buddy Dave Wyman today is the one, the only Michael Bumpus here. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Good. It's good to have you in here. And Jim's excited that you might bring the energy level up because it's what he lacks.
I got you, Jim.
I like the handling of the microphone there, running into the brim of the cap there. Nice work there.
You know, I'm just trying to be professional.
You're already calling him out?
No, I love Michael Bumpus. You know that. Go Cougs, fellow Coug over there.
Go Cougs.
See, him telling people that he loves them erases whatever shot he just took at you. He'll take you out at the knees, and then it's followed by, but you know I love you.
It's like when you say, like, with all due respect.
Yeah. I'm about to say something hurtful. I love you, but.
No, I heard him one morning with Danny and Gallant. And Danny was ripping me for the 1800th time, and Michael Bumpus stuck up for me.
Did he?
Fellow Coug sticking up for a fellow Coug, and I appreciate that.
Got to do it.
Yeah. If you weren't a Coug, he would have just let you get buried.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, coming up today, 4 o'clock, our regular visit with John Clayton, who will actually be in. We've had some replacements the past few days. That's been fun, but John will be back today at 4 o'clock. And then Mina Kimes will join us at 4:30, so we'll talk some Seahawks-Packers with her. Meanwhile, let's get to the injuries. That's what a lot of what people are concerned about going into this game. Seahawks dealing with injuries, hoping guys get healthy. Pete Carroll on with our sister station, Cairo FM, and Dory Monson had this to say about Yapati, Dwayne Brown, George Fant.
How's Dwayne Brown?
We'll find out on game day.
Was he able to do, I know he's not on the practice.
He did stuff yesterday, yeah.
What kind of stuff?
Next.
George Fant.
George is a game day too.
Mike Yapati.
Yeah, Mike's doubtful for this game. It's kind of a normal doubtful.
A normal doubtful, which tells me he's probably going to play. How about that?
A normal doubtful means, yeah.
I'm going optimist here, Jim.
Questionable these days typically means you're going to play. Doubtful.
Okay.
It's a little hazier.
Way to rain on my parade. You think he's going to play?
I think he'll play. I think if he can be around 75%, he'll get out there. It's the playoffs, man. This is winner go home.
I know.
You know, it's time to go.
One more on Ziggy Ansah, him being asked about Ziggy Ansah.
Still bothering him. You know, he's gone. He practiced, I think, Wednesday it was. Thursday we took it easy on him, and today we were quiet with him again. So those three guys are kind of in the same boat that we're going to have to wait all the way up to game time.
All right. Still bothering him. Game time decision for Ziggy Ansah. I was trying to figure out, do you guys remember, and you guys can text in if you can answer the 710-710. We heard today about Josh McCown ripping the hamstring off the bone. Did you hear that? That he suffered
so
that?
So did that happen in the game?
It happened
and
in the game.
To play?
Yes. But I want to know, had it happened when he outran Ansah, or did it happen after that? Because that just makes that even more of an indictment on Ansah on that play. If the guy, the 40-year-old...
It had to have been after.
That's what I'm thinking. I just couldn't remember the timing, because I remember watching him grab the back of his leg, like right at the top of his thigh. And you're like, oh, he's limping. Now who are they going to bring in? Ward's going to come in. But I don't remember the timing in relation to that play where he outran Ansah. And that would be really sad if he'd already injured it, tore it. And it still outran him at 40 years old.
Yeah, it's been a tough year for Ziggy Ansah. And out of all these different players, if he makes it back, great. If he doesn't, throw Shaquem Griffin in there, maybe even Dakota Watson. And so I don't think that's as big a deal as Dwayne Brown and George Fant, because you look at that left side of the line now, and Yapati too. You might end up with Chad Wheeler at left tackle, who was just activated from the practice squad this week, and then Jamarco Jones at left guard. So it's a tough spot there. I was reading up on Chad Wheeler today. He's got experience. He was starting for the Giants last year for most of the year at right tackle, but he's been practicing this week with the Seahawks at left tackle. So you might have a guy that you'd never even heard of. He went to USC, and he's capable, but he might end up being the starting left tackle if these game time decisions don't work out for you.
So it sounds like Russell Wilson's going to have to win this ball game. That's what you're telling me.
To be honest, I was feeling that way anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know, and we'll get to the running game here. Everybody loves Marshawn. You love who he was. I don't know who he is right now, right? And this is not negative or a shot on him. I just don't think he's been out there enough to really get a gauge of yeah, he's pretty much the same guy. We saw the 5-yard run. That looked very Marshawn, but we haven't seen enough carries to see, you know, just how he is. I don't know if he's a shell. I don't know if he's close to what he used to be, what we can expect. I don't think it's fair to expect that he's Marshawn of 2013, so I've tempered my expectations on him. And Homer, being a rookie, my expectations for both of them are pretty low, and it's not, again, not a criticism. I just think I'm trying to be realistic about where he's been, which is on a couch and in a parking lot handing out tequila shots, and now he's getting thrown into the fire with no training camp, no preseason, none of that traditional prep.
Yeah, well, it should be low. I mean, the running backs rushed for, what, 17 yards last week?
Yeah,
I mean,
it wasn't good.
It should be low. And then you add up the injuries on the offensive line. If you're expecting Marshawn Lynch to rush for 100 yards, you're stuck in 2013 or 12 or something like that. That's just not realistic. Can he do it? Who knows? He might just get rejuvenated or something. His legs feel good. He's ready to go. But the man's 33 years old. He's got a lot of miles on his body. He's behind a makeshift offensive line at this point. He hasn't been in the game for a while. Just my expectations for him, just convert on third and short. Convert on third and short 4 or 5 times on Sunday, and that's a win.
Yeah, I just I saw Las Vegas has a number on Marshawn Lynch for over-under on how many rushing yards he'll have in this game. You want to take a guess as to what it would be?
I would say less than 60.
Okay, you got one?
I'd say less than 50.
Yeah, 35 and a half.
Whoa, that's a lot.
35 and a half for Marshawn Lynch, even though Pete Carroll has said this week that they plan to use him more and he might get more carries than Travis Homer. But I'm with you guys, though, with this makeshift line, even though Green Bay, their rush defense isn't as good as Philadelphia's.
It's 23rd
in the league. They give up more than 100 yards a game on the ground. But you look at that, what's going on the left side of the line, and you look at the running backs you're dealing with here. I just don't see it being much of a productive day on the ground. And I'm with Michael, and I'm with you too, Bob. I just think you just put it in the hands of Russell Wilson. You just got to go for it with Russell and see how far he can take you.
But I'm okay with that. I mean, yeah.
I want to see him throw for 350.
Yeah, I would love to have Carson and Penny out there. I would feel much more secure about the balance that, hey, maybe they can just use those guys as a battering ram and they're going to accumulate and it's going to be a positive day on the ground and Russell can do his thing. So just having that dual attack. But if it's all on Russell, which I think it has been a lot of times, we've seen it. We saw it last week. They couldn't run the ball. He was their leading rusher with 45 yards, but they were 45 crucial yards in big moments, and he threw for over 300 yards and got you the win. And I'm okay with, I believe in his ability to, it's not single-handed. Obviously, guys have to catch the ball, and you got to block well enough, but almost single-handedly win the game for you.
Yeah, I think initially you run the ball to see if you're able to run the ball. If you can't run the ball, then you still run it just to keep them honest. And I think at some point in the game on Sunday, they're going to break one. Just how active these guys are trying to get after the quarterback in the pass rush. I think that the way Za'Darius Smith gets upfield, the way the other Smith gets upfield, there are going to be gaps for these guys to run. Now it's just, are they going to be able to see it and execute? You got an old guy and you got a rookie who hasn't really proven himself yet. He's had one good game. Let's see if he can bounce back and have another one. But end of the day, they still have to attempt to rush the ball at least 20 times.
Here's Pete Carroll talking about the challenge of Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith.
Yeah, Za'Darius is really a good football player. He's a disruptor. They know it. They move him all over the place. They match him up in different aspects. You know, whether he's standing up over the guard or the nose tackle sometimes, or he's coming off the edge generally. He's an excellent player. Preston is really effective as well. They're totally different style players, but they're used in they pressure a lot. They're their two outside rushers in the third down package. So they're problems, and Martinez in the middle is a problem. They got a really nice scheme going for him.
So a lot of sacks just between those two guys, almost as many as the entire Seahawks team for the regular season.
25 and a half.
Combined.
Yeah.
Between just those two. So they can do damage, but what you said is true, that opens up those running lanes for him. So we'll see if the Seahawks can take advantage. But somebody called me a homer the other day because I said, I believe Russell can do this on his own. And homer take. I'm like, what are you talking about? We've seen it.
Well, he just did it against Philadelphia, 95% of the offense.
Well, and we saw it in a year where the leading rusher in terms of running backs was Mike Davis at 249 yards or whatever, 250, in no offensive line. Talk about a one-dimensional offense. And what happened that year? He led the league in touchdown passes. We've seen it. It's not, I just love him so much and I'm such a fan, I believe he can. No, there's proof. There's history. He's done it. So I believe he can do it here. It's going to be a tall order. I think they should be the underdogs, as they are. I mean, I think you got a rested, healthier Packer team than the Seahawks. They're at home. Of course, they're going to be a favorite. It's going to be a tall order, but I think he can do it because we've witnessed it. We've seen it.
Yeah, I think that's what people struggle with outside of the Northwest, because no one really watches the Seahawks, you know? If you're not from around here, you kind of tune in on ESPN after the game, unless they're playing a primetime game. People don't really pay attention to what's been going on up here in the Northwest. And you're right, Russell Wilson has won. Well, they got 12 wins this year. I say he's won about six of them. You know, he's had to perform at a high level. So, yeah, I'm with you. He's been there. He's done that. He's going down to Lambeau. It's going to be cold. Jim, you're gonna bless us with your knowledge on the weather here, I feel like.
Michael, you know me, don't you? Yeah, I've got the latest forecast courtesy of the Weather Channel.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be a high of 24 and a low of 23.
Okay.
So it's not going to vary much. Kickoff local time, 5:40 there. So I'm a little torn on whether there's going to be snow or not, because it's supposed to be overcast in the afternoon in Green Bay. Winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. I'm not letting you down here, Michael. And then it says 60% chance of snow at night, Sunday night. So now does that mean after 6 p.m.? Does that mean overnight? It's hard to say, but 1 inch is expected. I want snow flurries in Green Bay. I'm sorry. I don't know if it favors Green Bay, favors Seattle, favors the offense, favors the defense.
You just want it.
I don't care who it favors.
You think it looks cool.
And it sounds like I'm being a hypocrite or whatever. Like, well, wait a minute. Aren't you the same guy that complained about the Apple Cup? Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
But I just think if it's a playoff game in January in Green Bay, I want to see it snow.
Yeah.
I do. I just want it to. I want snow.
I don't want weather to be a factor. I don't want to say, man, if so-and-so didn't slip at the goal line, or if the ball didn't slip out of so-and-so's hands because it was icy or was rainy. I just don't want weather to be what dictates the outcome on any level.
That's you think it helps an underdog more than a favorite?
The snow?
Yeah.
No. Why would it?
I don't know. I just always feel like it does. Sometimes you need an equalizer when you're the underdog.
I think if the Hawks were running the football like they were in the beginning of the season before all the injuries,
then I'd
be like, okay, it's going to help the Seahawks. At this point, I don't really know.
Especially when we just got done saying it looks like it might have to fall on the shoulders of Russell, right? Unless Marshawn and Homer have a day that we're just not really expecting, with that O-line being banged up and not really knowing who Marshawn is. We're sort of acknowledging, yeah, it might fall all on the arm and legs of Russell Wilson. I really don't want snow if that's the case. I just don't want anything to impact that in a negative way.
Yeah, it depends on how you look at it, though, all these different stats, and we've been going through all of them all week long. And on the one hand, you can say, well, okay, Russell Wilson, he has a chance to, well, we know how good he is. He's going to the Hall of Fame someday. So if you're a future Hall of Famer, you can do it anywhere at any time in any kind of weather. But you look at the other side of it, and he hasn't fared well in Green Bay. He's 0-3 there.
So why do you want to put that speed bump in front of him?
Through five interceptions in one game.
Why do you want another impediment in front of him?
But then you can go, and I wrote about, I gave my prediction, 710sports.com. I talked about this in the post. But then you can go back to Greg Bell tweeting out something about Russell Wilson, and when he plays in 21 degrees to 40 degrees, it's one of his best temperature ranges. This is what we're down to here, talking about some of these different things. But I don't care if it's 10 below zero and Russell Wilson's playing in Fairbanks, Alaska, or if he's in Miami.
As long as you've got snow.
If he's in Death Valley and it's 115 degrees, I'll take my chances with Russell in a game like this.
As long as you get your snow, so aesthetically it's really pleasing to you.
It'll be more memorable if it snows and everybody look back. Remember not that?
A win.
Remember that division
memorable
round game? They've lost the last seven times on the road, the Seahawks, in this round.
Yeah, 83.
The only time they've ever done it was, that was so much fun, too. You probably weren't even born yet. Were you in 83?
I was not.
Okay. Well, I was. I was in Carson City, and I was watching the game in Miami. I was down there, surprise, surprise, I was down there gambling. And it was so much fun. Everybody remembers, if you were alive then and you were a Seahawks fan, you remember the Seahawks going down there with Chuck Knox and beating Dan Marino. It was fantastic. But they haven't done it as a road team.
So why
since
put
1983?
Why put more in their way with snow? Why would you wish that?
Why do you think it would be such a negative?
Because I certainly don't think it's a positive. How does snow help?
He played in Wisconsin, Russell Wilson.
So being able to adapt to it is one thing. Does he excel in the snow? Do you have a stat that backs that?
Let's find out.
Because I'm going to guess that he doesn't excel. He throws the ball
better.
Why
would you guess that?
Because I don't think it's an additive. I don't think it's a performance enhancer. I don't
it's
think
an additive.
I don't
it's
think
like you're talking about gasoline.
I don't
or
think
something.
Anybody says, you know, if only there were some snow in that game, that guy would have thrown the ball a lot better, or they would have caught the ball that much easier.
The only thing good about the snow
As a receiver, you tell me.
Nothing for a receiver, nothing. I think the only thing good about the snow would be if the Hawks pull this off and then it's on the NFL films and you look back and it's a great story. Russell Wilson battles in the snow and beats the Green Bay Packers. They haven't won a divisional game since 83. It's the storyline.
The charm of it.
See?
Yeah. I don't.
Bob,
But do you want the snow?
Are you listening to Michael?
No one wants to play in the snow.
Yeah,
no,
that's what I just heard Michael say. No one wants to play
No
one wants to play in the snow.
No one does?
No one.
Really?
Well,
a lot of people want to watch it. I do.
And you're speaking for you.
All right, well, we'll see. You know, there's a chance that we'll come in here on Monday, and if it snows in Green Bay and the Seahawks win, that you'll look at me and you'll go, you know what, Jim, you're right about that. Boy, he was really good in the snow.
I'm not going to say because of the snow he was good. Thank God the snow was there. Otherwise, he would have been really mediocre.
Here's why I want the snow to happen, because it's a variable that you're not accounting for. And when I size up everything to do with this matchup, I think Green Bay holds the edge for the most part.
Because I do, especially on the ground right now. And we're talking about inclement weather. You rely on that running game. You don't put the ball in the air. You don't have to worry about a guy catching it and it slipping out. It's a safer way to go. Right now, if you're being honest, they've got the better running attack.
Well, yeah, they've got their top two running backs going.
Yeah.
So, and they have their top receiver, Devontae Adams. He's healthy. He's good to go. He's looked good the last month of the season. And then Aaron Jones has had 3 100-yard games out of the last four. So, yeah, they're good to go. You look at the Green Bay offense against the Seattle defense, and you give a decided advantage to the Green Bay offense. You flip it around, and not so much with Seattle's offense against Green Bay's defense.
I think you'll be surprised to know you're taking a beating on the text.
Oh, what else is new? It's a daily occurrence. Thank you. Well, the 509's not ripping me, though. The 509 never rips me.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody agree and say, you know what, snow
is definitely... I love the 509.
The 509?
I do,
Those are your people. Okay. All right, what did you write in your poll? Who did you pick?
I took Green Bay 27-20.
27-20. All right.
Yeah.
I was telling you, I think, that at the beginning of the week, I felt a certain way after that Eagles game, and then each day we break it down, and we're just tearing it apart a little speck by little speck, and then you start talking to yourself into it by the end of the week. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm leaning toward Green Bay. Not what I want, certainly. I would love to come in here on Monday and go,
come on, it's Blue Friday and you're wearing the Seahawks gear.
Listen,
here.
I'm a fan. I want them to win. This is not a wish. This is a hesitant prediction. Like,
yeah, on Monday, I felt really good about it.
Really?
Yeah, I felt really good. I'm like, you know what? Russell's shown that he can carry the load. He's good to go. But then as I keep watching film and I look at this Green Bay defense, I'm like, oh, man. They do some things. That Za'Darius Smith is something special. Now, that Blake Martinez is good in open field making tackles. So I still think the Hawks can pull it off, but I'm a little more nervous than I was on Monday just because of the matchups. And then I look at a Devontae Adams, you know, against a Trey Flowers or Shaquille Griffin. I think that Quandre Diggs is going to have to be on top of that. If Quandre Diggs can stay on top, and if the Hawks can rush for 100 yards total, whether it be Russell getting 50 and the other backs getting 50, I think there's a chance. There's no way they can go out and stink it up with 17 yards from your running backs, though. No way.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to do a better job on the ground. They'll do a better job than they did against Philadelphia.
Then last week, I'm with you there. That's not setting the bar very high. As you said, 17 total yards 17. Combined? So, yeah, it's...
This is the weekend, though, where the road teams typically struggle. The wild card weekend... more evenly matched games, and you look at the opponents, like you look at Baltimore and Kansas City, they're both favored by 10 over the Titans and the Texans, and then you look at Minnesota. I like Minnesota's chances at San Francisco, but they're a 7-point underdog there. Seattle now is a 4.5-point underdog. People are starting to bet on Green Bay, but they've got the best chance out of the four teams to win this weekend.
The Seahawks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And listen, it wouldn't be the least bit surprising if they win. I mean, I'm kind of in the middle, but you can't ride the fence. Okay, go. I think Green Bay's going. I think Seahawks are going to win too. You can't do it. So you got to make a choice. But to me, it's slight. I don't think the Packers are that dominant really anywhere. I think they're pretty solid and they're healthier and they're at home and they've had rest. So I mean, that just it favors them. It just does. I mean, it's common sense. So in looking at how banged up the Seahawks are. Is probably more. It's more about what the Seahawks are dealing with and trying to tape together than what the Packers have, right? It certainly helps them being at home and them having rest. But we just got done talking about the offensive line and how they might have to tape it together with a guy who hasn't even played this year. And and you know, you got the 33-year-old running back, and we're just expecting them to kind of turn chicken bleep into chicken salad there.
Okay, can I ask you guys something real quick here? I've got three questions here. Okay, 2016, the second round, the Seahawks lost at Atlanta 36-20. You remember that game? And the week before, they beat Detroit here at home. Do you remember that? And were you feeling pretty good about going to Atlanta? Because that's
probably
the same situation we're in right now with the Seahawks winning at Philadelphia. Okay, so you felt pretty good. And they ended up losing by 16 at Atlanta. In 2015, that was the Blair Walsh game where Minnesota missed the field goal at the end. Did you feel pretty good about when they went to Carolina the next week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they lost 31-24, and they really had to have a furious comeback to get that close because they were down so far. I don't even know what my point is here. But in 2012, they were at Washington. That was the game that was it Bruce Irvin knocked RG3 out, right?
Yeah.
And they ended up winning at Washington. And you felt pretty good.
I thought
good.
The turf knocked him out.
You felt good about them going to Atlanta. And they took the lead at Atlanta, but they ended up losing 30-28.
Yeah, with,
I think, Matt
Brown's 30 seconds
goal.
Left. And
so,
that game coughed it
up. So you're saying they're going to lose. That's what it sounds like.
Well, no, I'm just saying that they're in the same situation. And I believe in history and how it relates to football games sometimes. And I'm just, this is just, like you were saying earlier, the Packers have been sitting there, rested 2 weeks. You were on the road across the country. You're going to Green Bay. It's just a tough spot historically, not just for the Seahawks, but for teams in general on the road in this round.
It's going to come down to coaching. Put your guys in the right spot. If you're banged up, you got your O-line that's banged up, you got an old guy in the backfield coaching, what are you going to do to amplify the attributes of the guys that you have? That's what I think.
All right, let's take two.
Take two. UW has hired John Donovan as their new offensive coordinator. He spent the last four seasons with the Jaguars and was the offensive coordinator for Penn State and Vanderbilt in the past.
I don't know if this is a good hire or not. Just talking to the local honks in the building, they're all kind of like, eh. That seems to be the reaction. People are like, A, who is that? Or B, all right. It's not a name that seems to engender a lot of excitement.
They wanted Kellen Moore.
But he might be great. Do they?
They wanted Kellen Moore. Michael, I want Kellen Moore now. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll take him.
Next Cougar head coach?
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? And I don't know. I'm the same way. I don't know about this guy. I look at his resume at Penn State. His offense was ranked like 114. He had some success at Vanderbilt, but that was like 7-8 years ago. When he was with the Jaguars, he coached like three different positions in three consecutive years. And this just goes to show me that sometimes it's who you know. He knew the right guy, and he had a relationship. And the NFL and just coaching in general is a frat. If you can get in that frat, you'll get rotated and recycled year after year after year.
All right, the UW men's basketball team fell to Stanford last night 61-55 after an announcement that sophomore transfer Kade Green has been ruled academically ineligible for the winter quarter and would not play. And Jim, Bob told me to throw in that the Cougs lost too.
I just wanted to point out you had a rough night of college basketball predictions because yesterday you told Dave that the Dogs were going to beat Stanford. You thought they would rally around the fact that Green wasn't there, and then you mocked Dave Stanford Cardinal for beating that Cal team, and they were facing your team last night, and it just didn't go well for
you. Why do you have to bring this stuff up, Bob?
Well, because you said
it feels like you're questioning my credibility. It really does.
Your predictive nature? Well, if anything, it should make people feel better because you're picking the Packers, so hopefully you'll be wrong on that one, too.
Yeah, well, I typically am. No, it's tough. Kwade Green, losing him, your point guard. So it's going to take a while for the Huskies to figure that one out, and he could still be eligible toward the very end of the season, maybe in the postseason. But I'm hearing, after all this talk about the Huskies, Sweet 16, Jaden McDaniels and Isaiah Stewart but now they might be NIT bound.
No, I wouldn't say NIT bound.
Maybe.
I think they'll get it together. There's too much talent over there. Yeah, and there's talent over there, And I think they'll bounce back. Maybe they'll rally. Someone's going to have to step up. When you lose your point guard, your general, your guy out there, it changes the complexion of your offense. It looks a little different. So I give them a week. I think in a week they'll figure out who they are without this kid and hopefully bounce back.
All right, coming up, there's been a lot of talk about whether Aaron Rodgers is the same threat that he used to be. But there are a couple things Seahawks players know they need to watch from him in Sunday's game. We're going to talk about that next. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore. Michael Bumpus in with us today on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
You know who this is? Oh, you don't have your headsets on. I quiz Jim every day on music to see if he knows who these bumpers are. Do you know who this is?
Well, yeah, you cheat, though, because you know who they are because you're the one who submits them to Brian to play.
I didn't submit this.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
This is Rush.
It is. Good job. Good job. In honor of the now late, great Neil Peart, who was the drummer in Rush. I'm not a huge Rush fan. I've made that obvious over the years. But they're a band that I absolutely respected their musicianship. And he is arguably the greatest drummer in the history of rock and roll. And died at the age of 67 from brain cancer.
Mm.
Really sad.
Sad to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of out of nowhere. I mean, those close to him apparently knew, but it wasn't a public knowledge thing. So
is Rush the band that Tom follows around?
No, that's Fish.
Fish.
Yeah.
Close.
But Tom's a big Rush fan as well as Mike Salk. They commiserate. They talk about it. They've gone to their shows together. So, yeah. But a bummer. Big loss in the world of music. Meanwhile, again, a reminder coming up at the top of the hour, the Professor John Clayton will be with us as he is every day at 4 o'clock. And then Mina Kimes will join us at 4:30. So tune in for that. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers, do we believe he's different, that he's compromised on some level, that he's fading, his skills are eroding? Do you see that in him, Michael?
No, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Everyone's saying, oh, he's having a bad year. If a bad year is 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, think four picks. Most franchises will take that every single year from their quarterback. His completion rate is down a bit. He's down to 62%, so maybe that's where they're getting that from. But I watched this dude play. He's still making every single throw. He still just flicks that wrist, and the ball just jumps off of his hand.
Surprising velocity.
Yeah, it's crazy. He doesn't use his lower body. It's all upper body, and he makes it look easy, and it's not that easy. And then don't forget, he can move in the pocket as well. You know, he's not gonna do a Lamar Jackson run and rush for 50 yards or whatnot, but he's gonna maneuver in the pocket. He's gonna buy time. He's gonna throw the ball down the field. Aaron Rodgers is still a very good quarterback.
Hey, well, let me ask you, Michael. I heard Paul Gallant talking about this morning, and I saw the same stat where he led the league in overthrows this year, and I think he also led the league in bad throws and whatever you want to call it. And I'm with you thinking he's still an elite quarterback, but it's strange to me to see that because he's above Jameis Winston as far as bad throws, and Winston threw 30 picks this year. So how does Aaron Rodgers get away with having so many bad throws and only 4 interceptions?
His bad throws aren't as bad as Jameis. Let's say that. but a bad throw for him is just missing a receiver. A bad throw for Winston is a pick. Now, Aaron Rodgers will miss a receiver, but he'll put it in a spot where only the receiver's going to get it. It's either receiver or nobody. Winston seems like he just closes his eyes and makes a wish and throws the ball. So, no, his bad
throws. His wishes don't come true very often either.
He's not in the Make-A-Wish program. But, no, Aaron Rodgers, his bad throws are throws that only his receivers can get, and the receivers just don't make the play.
And the one thing we've seen from him, and I know Dave's said it annoys the daylights out of him. I think you don't like it either. The hard count. He gets guys to jump offsides, boom, free play. He's the king of that.
Yeah.
Or whether it's, you know, too many men on the field, somebody's trying to rush off the field, he hurries the snap. To me, that's a heads-up play by the quarterback. If Russell were doing that, I think we'd all praise him for being just that in tune and seeing a guy run off the field and, you know, getting that snap and enforcing the penalty or getting guys to jump and taking advantage of a free play.
So who do you think's most susceptible to being
Jadeveon Clowney?
Guilty of that one. Jadeveon
Clowney.
I would agree with you.
And
on that
he was asked about that, and here's what he said about it.
How cognizant do you need to be of the way Aaron hard counts and the stuff he does?
I jumped offside last game, and I know he's seen it on tape last few games, a couple of us guys. We got to be smart. We're in their house. We know they're going to hard count. We know that's a way that he likes to control the game with his hard count and letting play clock wind down. We just got to be smart and watch the ball. If you watch the ball, that would be okay.
Hey, Michael, how hard is that when you're on the offensive side, when you know the hard count's coming, to not flinch?
I don't think it's that hard. That's why it drives me nuts, especially a receiver. Like, you can't really hear the count anyway, so just look at the football. And I guess it's easier said than done because you are human. You're influenced by other factors, so the voice of Aaron Rodgers might get you. But as a coach, that drives me nuts. Just watch the football. I know you want to get after the quarterback. I know you want to get a jump off the ball. But end of the day, watch the football. I tell receivers, you don't need to know the count. There's no reason for you to know the count. Just watch the football. So it is hard, though. You are human. You make mistakes. You're influenced. But theoretically, it's not that hard.
Do you look at that as a cheap trick? That it's kind of good? Wyman hates it.
Really?
Yeah.
He plays defense, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to hate it if it happens. It's going to drive me nuts too. I don't want it to happen against my team, but there's an element of it that I respect. It's a savvy veteran thing, and he knows it works. If it works, keep doing it till it doesn't. So Clowney and those guys, they got to make sure it doesn't work. Pretty easy, right?
Yeah, I would think so. But
just look at the ball. That's all you got to do. Michael said it.
Man, I'd have a hard time, though. I mean, you're trying to get a jump. You know how effective Aaron Rodgers is.
We used to watch Bennett do it every week.
Yeah, he did. But, no, it's going to be tough. I mean, you look at some of these stats and you think, boy, Aaron Rodgers isn't quite as good as he used to be. He's at 62%. He's down for the fourth straight year. And yet you look at his career against the Seahawks at home, he's 72% with 6 touchdowns and interception and a 112.9 rating.
One more thought on Rodgers from a Seahawk. KJ Wright talking about his mobility and his ability to, you know, he's not the fast guy like you said, but he just knows how to take that step to the left or step to the right and keep things going.
No, he's just really savvy in the pocket. He knows, he understands rush lanes. He understands where he can step in and find his receivers downfield. And he has enough speed where he can get a first down or two throughout the game. And so D-line, they go watch the film and study what he likes to do. And so we have a good game plan for him.
Do you think we're at a point nationally now where they've crossed, where Aaron Rodgers has always been a little bit ahead of Russell Wilson or maybe even
a lot
ahead? In
terms of perception?
Yeah, do you think nationally that people are seeing Russell and Aaron Rodgers on the same level, or do you think Russell's past Rodgers yet?
Nationally, that's a good question. We can ask Mina Kimes that. She comes from that perspective. But I still feel like Aaron is revered more. I think this year went a long way with Russell being the leader in that MVP race for a good chunk of the first half of the season. I think that brought attention to him across the board, nationally speaking.
Well, if he wins this week?
Yeah. I mean, they're the only show
with the
in town
running
at that
backs
point.
He's
last
got
game of the weekend.
The running backs he's got, the left side of the line that he might have.
Yeah.
If Fant and Brown don't play, and then dealing with a 26-rated defense. If he can get you into the Final Four of this thing,
you get into the NFC title game with that on the road. You beat two teams on the road to get to the NFC title game. Yeah, I think he'll get, if he doesn't have the respect yet, which I think he does, by the way. But do you think he's perceived as a step behind Rodgers or equal?
I think right now he's perceived as a step behind. If he could get through this game, I think they'll be neck and neck, because the knock with Russell Wilson has always been, oh well, all they do is run the ball. He's a game manager. He's not asked to win football games. This year, he's been asked to win a lot of football games, and he plays for the Seattle Seahawks. As long as you are a above-average quarterback and you play for the Green Bay Packers, or you play for the Cowboys, or you play for the Redskins, some of those old-school franchises, people are going to view you in a different way. But if there is a chance for Russ to make the jump, this is the year he wins this ball game. He's neck and neck with Rodgers.
All right, coming up, big coaching news for both the Cougs and the Huskies in the last 24 hours. We're going to hear what the two Cougs in the room think about some of this. That's coming up with Bob, Dave, and more. Michael Bumpuson with us today on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and More.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
This is still Rush, Jim, in case you're wondering. By the way, I love Michael just logged onto the text, so you guys can text in nice things to him. 710-710 is the Coors Light text line. But the disparity in text, no matter what we're talking about. So we played Rush earlier, and one text said, Rush is the most overrated band ever. Followed the next text, I love Rush. Oh, the sad day. You know, just praising Rush and Neil Peart. It's just, no matter what we're talking about. Great point. Followed by, you're an idiot. You don't know anything about football. So just a heads up when you get on that text there, Michael. You're going to get a lot of that.
Shoot him. Go for it. I'm ready.
You got one today, and actually today marks 10 years that I've been at the station.
Really?
I can still remember when Owen Murphy, the former program director.
Who?
One of your favorites.
No.
No, I know that. I know that. But he gave me a call. It was during Pete Carroll's press conference. Pete Carroll's been the coach of the Seahawks. He was introduced 10 years ago today. And I came in and worked with Calabro. But anyway, so I've been here 10 years, and I've never gotten a text like this one from the 360. I really enjoy having Michael Bumpus on the broadcast. Intelligent and good perspective.
They've never said that about you?
I've never gotten that.
Now you will get one. Now they're going to hear that.
10 years, I haven't gotten one of those.
Well, pay attention, because one's coming. I'm going to text it in a minute. So coming up at 4 o'clock, the Professor John Clayton will be with us. Mina Kimes will join us at 4:30. But as we said before the break, coaching news concerning both schools out here in the University of Washington and Washington State. Let's start with Cougs, because got two Cougs here. And, Jim, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but, Michael, I haven't heard your take on this. Leach is out.
Yeah.
He finally took a job. He was rumored to be talking. You know, I think I told you. I was just sort of numb to that story because it was Tennessee, it was Arkansas, it was all these other schools. He never took them, so I'm just like, all right, here's another one, and then we'll move on, and he'll still be the coach. I was a little surprised he took it. How do you feel about it?
I was surprised that he took it, especially because they added an extra year to his contract right after the Apple Cup. So I'm like, okay, he'll be here at least until, I think it was 2024 was his contract extension. But you're right. He's always been in the rumor mill. Like, hey, he might go there. He might go there. And unfortunately, I love WSU, alma mater, Coug through and through. But these things just happen to us. You know, it's not like for us to have Leach there for what, 7-8 years he was there, Jim?
Yeah, 8 years.
It was awesome, you know.
So this bums you out.
Yeah, it bums me out a bit because I don't know who they're going to get to replace him. WSU isn't like a destination place where coaches are like, man, I want to go to WSU and coach.
Yes, it is, Michael. Come on.
Hey, in my experiences, it just we don't have that.
Don't you think he's, sorry to cut you off, but don't you think he's changed it? I was telling Jim that, you know, everybody's worried about, oh, we're back to the Paul Wolf days. And I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. This has become, whether you love Leach or you hated him, whatever you thought of him, he's brought a different spotlight to this program. They've had success. They've had a number of years in a row of a bowl appearance. I think the expectations and the attractiveness of this job are substantially better. He left it much better off than what he inherited.
He definitely did. But now
it's a more appealing job.
Now it's the next coach coming in. You have air raid personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to run Fair the air point. Raid? If you don't come in with the air raid mentality and you want to run the ball a lot and get a tight end in there are no tight ends on this roster right now. They got to get a guy who's going to come in and kind of keep the party going. If you bring in a guy who's going to come in and change it and make it his own, which the next guy should, it's just going to be tough. And I feel like they're going to be a couple years of the dark ages again.
I
was thinking about that personnel part of it.
But do you agree that he left the program in a better spot? It's a more appealing job, much more appealing than before Leach got there.
Yeah, I would think so. And I like you were saying, Bob, I don't think we're going to go back to the Paul Wolf days. I think we're going to get a good coach. I've got a lot of faith in Pat Chun and what he's going to do in the coaching search. And I like some of the names that are already out there, especially Alex Grinch,
yeah,
former defensive coordinator under Leach at Washington State. Then he went to Ohio State. Now he's Oklahoma defensive coordinator. Young guy. I'd like to see us play better defense, and so I'd like to see him there. But there's some other interesting names, too. The Hawaii coach, Nick Rolovich, who, when we talked to Yogi Roth yesterday from the Pac-12 Network, he was pretty high on him. So I think whoever it ends up being, I'm excited about it. I like some of these dark horse candidates, too, and names that have been floated out there by people like me. Rick Neuheisel. There's Jim Mora. He's out there.
Does Neuheisel want to coach again?
I don't know, but I think it'd be fun. You remember that when he had that Northwest Championship where if you beat Oregon State and Washington State, he set this goal late in the season. I just get a kick out of Neuheisel, and I think it would really fuel that Apple Cup rivalry. And I know it's a long shot, and Rick Neuheisel's on CBS now doing college football broadcasts, so he maybe isn't in the market wanting to do that. Norm Chun maybe doesn't want him either. Or Kellen Moore. I think that'd be cool. Like, he's already just spurned Jimmy Lake over there at Washington for the offensive coordinator job. He's staying in Dallas with Mike McCarthy. But maybe if you came to him and said, hey, Kellen, we want to make you a head coach at a Pac-12 team. You're from Prosser here in our state. You know, why don't you come on back and be a head coach at the age of 31 or whatever he is? That might be interesting.
I think you need a name that just people recognize. You can't.
You don't want an up and comer.
No. You need an established guy. Not even established, just a name that people recognize. Like Kellen Moore. He's still got a lot to learn. 31 years old. He's already been offensive coordinator for Dallas, but people will recognize that name and get behind it. And if you can get the Coug Nation to get behind you, I think you have a chance. You bring in an older guy who no one really recognizes, then I think it's going to hurt recruiting. And the main thing is recruiting. It's already hard to get guys to go to Washington State just because of the location or whatnot. You have to bring a guy who's charismatic and who can grab a 3 or 4 star that you're not supposed to get every year.
How about Steve Sarkisian? Because he was a finalist for the Mississippi State job.
The only thing that scares me about Sarkisian, you know what Pullman water is, Jim?
Yeah,
yeah.
I do.
That,
what is that?
Well, no, but he doesn't drink anymore.
Pullman water?
Yeah.
Oh, the alcohol?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He doesn't drink anymore.
Okay, though. Well, if he's on the straight and narrow, then yeah, for sure. I'd get down with
Pullman
Sark.
Water.
Yeah.
And then we touched on the coaching decision made over at UW with their offensive coordinator. Not a name that people are, you know, doing cartwheels over. Feels like a wait and see. Maybe he may end up being great. I don't know. I mean, he's got a track record at Vanderbilt and Penn State and Jacksonville in the NFL. None of the numbers he's attached to seem that dazzling, but obviously Jimmy Lake believes in him, right? His first, you want to make an impression.
John Donovan.
Your first year as a head coach, you better feel like you're making the right decision. So if you're a Husky fan, I guess in Jimmy you trust. So if he feels like that's the guy, then that's the guy.
Yeah. On paper, he's not attractive, you know. And like I said earlier, it's all about who you know at some point. He has experience, and that's good. He's 3 years in the NFL. He went to Vanderbilt, Penn State. He says he's going to bring an aggressive pro-style offense, which I think will fit UW. I think that's what they need. But I think this is a hire that he likes his philosophy. His track record isn't great. He has experience, but he just knows him. He trusts the guy. He feels like he can go in a battle with this guy, and he'll have his back. And end of the day, that's truly what you want. You want a guy you believe in his philosophy, and when things get tough, he's not going to turn on you.
By the way, people texting in saying Pullman water, otherwise known as Natty Ice. Pullman water is Busch Light. Is it a specific beer, or is it just beer?
Busch
Light.
For me, when I was there, it was Busch.
It was Busch Light?
Yeah.
That's Pullman water?
That's Pullman water.
Right. I'm glad we got that cleared up. Meanwhile, I heard the professor mocking you today, Jim. I heard him imitating your voice. Didn't sound anything like you, but he made you sound whiny. And
yeah.
We're going to have to ask him about that. The professor, John Clayton, will be joining us next year with Bob, Dave, and more. Michael Bumpus in today on 710 ESPN Seattle.